GCSE Art and Design, Packaging Design Podcast. Hello and welcome to your GCSE Art and Design Study Podcast. I'm here to guide you through one of the most exciting and practical topics in the graphic communication endorsement, packaging design. Whether you're working on your portfolio or preparing for your exam, this episode will give you the knowledge, techniques, and insider tips you need to create packaging that not only looks stunning, but also functions brilliantly and earns you top marks. Over the next 10 minutes, we'll explore the essential concepts behind packaging design, break down the four assessment objectives, discuss common pitfalls that lose candidates marks, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your knowledge. So grab a notepad, get comfortable, and let's dive in. Let's start with the fundamentals. Packaging design is where form truly meets function. You're not just creating a pretty surface, you're solving a three-dimensional problem that involves structural integrity, material properties, brand identity, and target audience appeal. Examiners want to see that you understand the synthesis. First, let's talk about nets and die cuts. A net is the flat, two-dimensional template that, when folded, creates your three-dimensional packaging form. Think of it as the blueprint for your box. Die cuts are the precise cutting and scoring patterns that allow the packaging to be manufactured at scale. You need to demonstrate understanding of how panels connect, where glue tabs are positioned, and how fold lines versus cut lines work. Solid lines indicate cuts, dashed lines indicate folds, and dotted lines show score marks. These are the lines you press or indent to make folding easier and cleaner. When you're designing your net, always consider the structural integrity. Will the box hold its shape? Can it support the weight of the product inside? Does the closure mechanism work effectively? These aren't just theoretical questions. Examiners award marks under Assessment Objective 1 for investigating existing packaging solutions and analyzing their construction methods. So when you're researching, don't just look at pretty designs online. Get your hands on real packaging. Take it apart, photograph the net, measure the dimensions, test how it opens and closes. This primary research is gold. Now, let's move to surface graphics. This is where your typography, imagery, color palette, and brand identity come to life. But here's a crucial point that candidates often miss. Typography is not decoration. It's a compositional tool. Your choice of typeface communicates brand personality. A bold geometric sans serif says something very different from a delicate script font. Hierarchy matters too. The product name should dominate, followed by key information like ingredients or features, then legal text. Examiners look for purposeful experimentation with typography under Assessment Objective 2, so show multiple iterations, try different font pairings, adjust tracking and leading, demonstrate that you're refining, not just decorating. Material choice is another area where you can demonstrate deep understanding. Cardboard is the most common material for student work, but even within that category, you have options. Corrugated cardboard offers strength and cushioning. Solid bleached sulfate, or SBS, gives you a smooth, high-quality surface for printing. Craft card has that natural, eco-friendly aesthetic. When you annotate your work, don't just say, "I chose cardboard." Explain why. Link it to sustainability, cost, printability, or the brand values you're communicating. That's the kind of analytical thinking that earns higher marks. Let's talk about the design process itself. Examiners expect to see evidence of iteration. That means your portfolio should show the journey, not just the destination. Start with low-fidelity paper mock-ups. These are rough, quick models that let you test scale, volume, and closure mechanisms before you invest time in high-fidelity graphics. Photograph these prototypes, show the ones that didn't work, annotate why they failed and what you learned. This is Assessment Objective 3 in action, recording your ideas, observations, and insights. As you refine your design, move toward high-fidelity prototypes. This is where you apply your final graphics to a precisely constructed net. Use a craft knife and metal ruler for clean cuts. Score your fold lines with a bone folder or the back of a scalpel. Apply adhesive carefully. Double-sided tape or PVA glue work well, but avoid messy, visible glue marks. The final assembled piece should look professional, which is what Assessment Objective 4 rewards, a personal and meaningful response that demonstrates high technical competence. One more critical point, brand identity and target audience. Your packaging doesn't exist in a vacuum. It needs to appeal to a specific demographic and communicate clear brand values. Are you designing for children, luxury consumers, eco-conscious shoppers, or tech enthusiasts? Your color palette, imagery, and tone of voice should all align. Examiners love to see you reference design movements or specific designers. For example, you might draw on Bauhaus principles of form following function or cite the bold graphic style of pop art. This contextual awareness elevates your work. Now let's talk about what not to do, because avoiding common mistakes is just as important as doing things right. Mistake number one, focusing exclusively on surface decoration while neglecting structural design. I see this all the time. Candidates create beautiful graphics, but their net doesn't fold properly or the box collapses under its own weight. Remember, packaging design is as much about engineering as it is about aesthetics. Test your structure early and often. Mistake number two, relying on secondary internet imagery without engaging in primary analysis. Yes, Pinterest and Behance are great for inspiration, but examiners can spot the difference between work informed by real-world investigation and work copied from online sources. Handle physical packaging, sketch it, photograph it, analyze it in person. Mistake number three, treating typography as an afterthought. I cannot stress this enough. Your choice of typeface, size, weight, and placement are fundamental design decisions. Poor typography can ruin an otherwise strong design. Make sure your text is legible, hierarchically organized, and appropriate for your brand and audience. Mistake number four, submitting a final outcome without the supporting portfolio evidence. Your final piece might be stunning, but if you haven't documented the research, experimentation, and refinement that led to it, you'll lose marks across all four assessment objectives. The process is just as important as the product. Here are some top tips to maximize your marks. First, produce low-fidelity mockups early. Test scale, volume, and closure mechanisms before you commit to final graphics. Second, photograph the construction process. The final assembled piece may hide internal mechanics, so document how you scored, folded, and glued. Third, annotate meaningfully. Don't just describe what you did, explain why you did it. Link your decisions to brand identity, target audience, sustainability, or cost. And finally, reference specific designers or design movements. Show that your work is informed by broader design history and theory. All right, let's test your knowledge with a quick fire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what are the three types of lines used in a packaging net and what does each represent? Answer, solid lines indicate cuts, dashed lines indicate folds, and dotted lines indicate score marks. Question two, name two materials commonly used for packaging and one property of each. Answer, corrugated cardboard offers strength and cushioning. Solid bleached sulfate provides a smooth, high-quality surface for printing. Question three, what is the purpose of a glue tab in a packaging net? Answer, a glue tab is an extension of a panel that is folded and adhered to another panel to secure the structure. Question four, why is it important to create low fidelity mockups before applying final graphics? Answer, to test scale, volume, and closure mechanisms, identifying structural problems before investing time in high fidelity design. Question five, what does assessment objective four assess in your packaging design work? Answer, the ability to present a personal and meaningful response that demonstrates high technical competence and realization. Brilliant. Let's wrap up. Today, we've covered the essential knowledge for GCSE packaging design, understanding nets and die cuts, applying surface graphics with purposeful typography, selecting appropriate materials, documenting your iterative design process, and aligning your work with brand identity and target audience. Remember the four assessment objectives. 25% of your marks come from investigating existing packaging. Another 25% from refining your work through experimentation. 25% from recording your creative journey with photographs and annotations. And the final 25% from presenting a resolved, professional final outcome. Avoid the common mistakes. Don't neglect structure. Don't rely solely on internet research. Don't treat typography as decoration, and don't forget to document your process. If you apply these principles, you'll create packaging that not only looks fantastic, but also functions brilliantly and earns you the marks you deserve. Good luck with your coursework, and remember, the best packaging design is where creativity meets precision. Thanks for listening, and happy designing.